Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In our gospel reading this week, we hear the words of Mary, a young girl, pregnant and unmarried, praising God for what God is doing through her own life and for what God has done and will do for the whole of humanity. In this song, we are given a powerful picture of the God that Mary has in mind when she says to Gabriel, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Who is this God that Mary says yes to? Luke's gospel is actually a story of two visitations and two miraculous pregnancies. The first pregnancy is Elizabeth and her husband Zechariah, who is a priest. Why is this so miraculous? Well, Luke tells us kindly, I think, that they were both getting on in years. An angel visits Zechariah in the temple and tells him that Elizabeth is going to bear a child who will be called John, who will make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zechariah cannot believe it, and he is made mute. In fact, Zechariah remains mute for the whole of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Something big is happening here. This is so big and so miraculous that even the priest Zechariah is silenced in its coming. The second visitation is to Mary, who Luke tells us is a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph. We tend to picture Mary as a mid to late 20s young woman, dressed in blue, calm and serene. It is more likely that she was younger than this, probably a teenager, and she was not a person of means. In a scene we know well from the Advent season, Gabriel visits Mary and says to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." The gospel then tells us that Mary was much perplexed by his words and that she pondered what sort of greeting this might be. I love this line. Throughout this account of Gabriel's visit, in the midst of these grand proclamations of what is about to happen to Mary and her son, we have these little moments which just seem so human. Much perplexed feels like a posh way of saying that Mary was totally confused. Gabriel then says to Mary, "Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." This is quite a statement. And again, Mary's response, if you think about it, is so perfectly human. After everything that has been said about her son, that he will be called the Son of the Most High, that he will be given the throne of his ancestor David, that he will reign over the house of Jacob, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Mary basically says, "I'm going to be pregnant? How is that possible?" And so, as we know, Gabriel explains that this child will be conceived of the Holy Spirit, and that Elizabeth too will be having a baby. And in response to all of this, Mary says, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." And the angel leaves. Perhaps it's this last line that makes us imagine Mary as someone who is serene and calm, peacefully and quietly knowing in her heart what is to come for her. But I wonder about that image. Mary is a young girl, poor, unmarried, and now pregnant. What will her community think of this situation? What will they think of her? And how will they treat her because of it? We know from Matthew's gospel that Joseph was concerned enough about this, about her being exposed to public disgrace, that he was planning to dismiss her quietly. I see Mary, rather, as someone who trusts God even in the midst of this situation, one that must have been confusing and scary for her. So in a way, it's not a surprise that this Mary visits Elizabeth, trusting God, but confused by what is happening, open to what God has planned for her, but terrified of what it might mean for her life. Elizabeth is older. She's married to a priest. Perhaps she will understand what's going on. I also wonder, as Mary sets out on this journey, whether there isn't a small voice at the back of her mind somewhere asking, is Elizabeth even really pregnant? The angel said she was, but it all seemed so impossible given her age. Perhaps this was also a way for Mary to confirm this miraculous thing that had been proclaimed to her, something she believed in her heart despite her fear and uncertainty. And as she arrives, she receives immediate validation. As she walks into Elizabeth and Zechariah's house, the sound of Mary's greeting alone causes Elizabeth's child to leap in her womb. Elizabeth is filled with the Spirit and, the text tells us, exclaims with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." And Mary too responds out of her own overwhelming joy and excitement in the words that we have heard in our gospel reading this morning. So what can this song tell us about the God that Mary trusted, even in the midst of these life-changing events? Let us take a closer look. There are a couple of things that I think can give us some insight into what Mary is proclaiming here. First, the Magnificat has several similarities to the song of Hannah in 1 Samuel 2. Hannah, a godly woman who was unable to conceive, eventually becomes pregnant and gives birth to a son who will later be a mighty judge. Mary, in singing her own song, drawing on this famous story in the history of God's salvation, is claiming the significance of this moment and of her story within this momentous history and tradition. Secondly, scholars note that this song can be broken down into two sections, both ending with reference to God's mercy. The first is personal, the second is social. In the first, Mary praises God for what God has done for her. "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has looked with favour on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation." In the second section, Mary speaks of what God has done and will do for humanity as a whole. "He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." So in the first half, we have a solo voice lifting her praise to God, and there are two contrasted positions. Mary is the lowly servant. God is the mighty one who has done great things for her. In the second half, Mary puts the things God has done for her in the context of the things God is doing for humanity. That God chose her, a poor unmarried young girl, to bear the incarnate word in her very body is not incidental. "The Lord is with you," Gabriel tells Mary. This is a sign and an example of what God is doing on a much bigger scale and of what is going to be brought about through her son, Emmanuel, God with us. Just as this poor, unmarried young girl is looked on with favor, so too are all of the lowly lifted up and the hungry filled with good things. But it's not just about the lowly and God in this second section. There is a third party, the proud, the powerful, and the rich. And what Mary has to say about God's interactions here might be a little harder to hear. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. The God that Mary says yes to, that Mary trusts in the midst of her miraculous pregnancy, is the God who lifts up the lowly and brings down the powerful. This God is a God who is making things right, who is turning right way up the things that humans have turned upside down. This is the great reversal, and it's one of the most important themes in Luke's Gospel. Think of Luke 13. Some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last. Or the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, the beggar at his gate in Luke 16. The rich man is condemned and Lazarus is carried away by angels to the side of Abraham. The rich man's wealth having blinded him to his moral responsibility to take care of the man suffering on his doorstep. Think of Luke's Beatitudes in Luke 6. Whereas Matthew writes, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, and blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." Luke writes, "Blessed are you who are poor. Blessed are you who hunger now." There is no over-spiritualizing this for Luke. Indeed, this account, Jesus doesn't end with the blessings. He continues, "But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry." For those of us who are comfortable and well-fed, these are hard words to hear. But God sees things differently than we do. God does not disrupt the world that we know. He does not turn it upside down. He heals it. He turns it the right way up. And as Mary reminds us, this healing does not come from a God who is above us and apart from us. This healing, this great reversal, this kingdom comes from a God who is Emmanuel, God with us. In Jesus, God doesn't just lift up the lowly. He becomes lowly and lifts the lowly up in himself. In Jesus, God becomes human, turning us the right way up in himself, inviting us to take part in this great reversal. Paying attention to the words and the context of the Magnificat leaves us, I think, with a more human picture of Mary. As Mary sings this song, pregnant, excited, waiting for the kingdom that's coming, fearful, confused, amazed, and trusting this God in the midst of it all, she insists that her story is a witness to who God is and what God is about to do. I don't see Mary as passive and quiet. I see her as courageous and prophetic. Paying attention to the words and the context of the Magnificat also leaves us, I think, with a challenge and a call. Did you notice that Mary spoke of the things that God has done in the past tense? He scattered the proud, he has brought down the powerful and lifted up the lowly, he has filled the hungry and sent the rich away empty. Yet Mary knew that these things had not yet fully come to pass. This past tense is a way of noting a habitual action. It is a proclamation of who God is. And because of this, it's also a prophetic proclamation of God's action yet to come. This is the kingdom. The hungry are fed, and the powerful are brought down from their thrones. This kingdom has come. God is with us, and we are invited in, but there is still work to do. This invitation is also a call. there are still hungry people on our doorstep. There are still rich and powerful people who are blind to their responsibility to take care of their neighbour. This is not how we were meant to be. And the good news, the gospel in the midst of this, is that the God Mary said yes to is our God. And this God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And this God is making things right with us, not from outside of us, but from within us. He is lifting up within us what needs to be lifted up, and he is tearing down within us what needs to be torn down. This is good news. Here am I, Lord. Let it be with me according to your word.